I have some Bible characters that have something in common, and I'm not going to tell you what it is. So you have to listen and try to figure out what all these people have in common. There's probably more than one thing they have in common, but to make my point, I'm going to do it that way. Okay? So let's pray. Father, we are naturally born thinking that we are more than what we really are. And we inherited this, we know we inherited this from our sinful condition. And so I pray this morning, Lord, that you would show us, teach each one of us, myself included, that we would all be seeing ourselves more the way that you see us, and that you would show us more what we really are, so we could get a better view of ourselves, so we could come to know and love you better. So give us that this morning, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so a few characters here, and if you're not familiar with them, I'll tell you the stories, but they're kind of really cool Bible stories anyway. Even if you know them, they're good. But remember Ahab. Okay, Ahab was a very wicked king. He married a lady from a different country, the nation of Sidon, which was north of Israel, a pagan country, which he wasn't supposed to do. And her name was Jezebel. So Ahab has this wife, Jezebel, and she was very wicked. And she brought into Ahab's family all these foreign gods. And so Ahab was greatly influenced by his wife. So he was kind of starting to follow these other gods. And he went so far as to even sacrifice his own sons to please these other gods. He's really a bad king, right? Well, this was during the time of Elijah, the prophet. So Elijah, you know stories about him. He was a powerful prophet and he was very godly. And so during this time, Elijah was confronting Ahab. So Ahab, the king, says to Elijah, I'll quote it. Ahab said to him, "Is it you, you troubler of Israel?" That's how he viewed the prophet. And he answered, Elijah answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but you have, and your father's house, because you have abandoned the commandments of the Lord and followed the Baals," those are the false gods. So the wicked king is saying, "You're the bad guy. You're a troubler of Israel." But he was just a godly prophet. So, just to make the story that you'll understand what I'm talking about. Remember what Elijah did? There was all the priests of Israel were being killed by Jezebel. And this guy that lived in the home, Obadiah, he was hiding the priests so they wouldn't get killed. And so Elijah was getting really tired of this, and so God told him what to do. So Elijah says to Ahab, "Bring all of the priests of Baal, the false priests, bring them together, and we're going to bring all the people together, and we're going to see who the real God is." So he says, "Let's do this. Let's have two ox. We'll have two sacrifices. We'll butcher this ox. You guys build an altar to your god, the Baal, and I'll build an altar to my god, the real god, and we'll put these pieces of meat on the altar on top of all this wood, and you put your ox on your wood and get it ready, but we're not going to light a fire. We're both going to pray. Your priest will pray and I'll pray, and we'll see who can call down fire from heaven to burn up the offering." And so all the people of Israel are there, and the priests of Baal are there. And he goes, "You guys go first." So they're all praying and praying and praying from morning all the way till noon. They're cutting themselves and they're bleeding and they're praying and nothing's happening. So around noontime, Elijah starts doing this. Well, maybe your God is sleeping. Maybe your God's on vacation. Or maybe he's going to the bathroom. He starts mocking these guys, right? And they're trying even more. So finally he goes, okay, now it's my turn. So he says, take these jugs of water, these big jugs of water, four of them, and douse the sacrifice with water. And they built a trench around it to catch the water. He goes, do it again. Three times they doused the sacrifice with water, and there was water all in the trench. Then Elijah prayed. Listen to what he said. This is so good. He says, and at the time of the offering, Elijah the prophet came near and said, quote, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back. So he's doing this on purpose, right? And before that, he said to the people, he said this. He said, how long will you go on limping between two different opinions? He says, if God is God, then follow Him. If Baal is God, then follow Him. Quit limping along. Make your mind up. He's telling this to the people. And so, after he prays, the Bible says the fire came down from heaven, burned up the sacrifice, burned up all the water around the trench, around the sacrifice, and all the people were amazed. Then Elijah commanded that all of the false priests be killed. And they killed them all. Right? Okay, so the question I have for you with that story is, Ahab, his view of Elijah, he was a troubler in Israel. Okay, he says, you're a troubler. Now, that's one guy that we're looking at. And so what do all these guys have in common? The next guy is Herod. Herod. Not the one that killed the babies, but the other Herod, okay? Remember what he did to John the Baptist? Herod was being told by John the Baptist that he was sleeping with his brother's wife. He took his brother's wife. John the Baptist was confronting him. So John the Baptist then ended up in jail. And Herod would visit John. And then Herod was full of lust because he was sleeping with his brother's wife, but she had a daughter. And one day the daughter danced for everybody, and Herod was so full of lust that he said to the girl, I'll give you whatever you want, up to half the kingdom. And her mother said, ask for John the Baptist's head on a platter. Remember that? So she said, I want John the Baptist's head. Herod was like, oh, not that. But he was in front of everybody, so he did it. So he had John the Baptist killed. That's Herod. Okay, now, when Herod was during the trial of Jesus, Pilate shipped the Lord Jesus over to Herod. Remember that? Pilate didn't want to deal with Jesus. He was scared of it. His wife and all this stuff. So, listen to what Herod says. He questioned Jesus at some length, but he made no answer. Jesus made no answer. And the chief priests and scribes stood by vehemently accusing him, Jesus. And Herod, with his soldiers, listen to this, treated him, Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus, treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then, arraying him in splendid clothing, he sent him back to Pilate. What does Herod have in common with Ahab? That's what we're looking at. What do these guys have in common? And we already talked about Jezebel. Jezebel said this, after Ahab lost the little contest there and Elijah had the prophets killed, Jezebel said this to Elijah. He said, if I do not make your life as one of them, that the guys you killed, by this time tomorrow, may the gods be against me. In other words, you're going to die within the day. She's threatening him. So he had to run for his life. So there's Jezebel. She's in the mix too. What does she have in common with Ahab and Herod? And then Nebuchadnezzar. What does he have in common with these guys? He's standing on the wall of his kingdom and he says this: "Is not this great Babylon, which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty?" This is the great Babylon that I, Nebuchadnezzar, built for the glory of my majesty. I read about Nebuchadnezzar. You know what he did? Remember the wall we talked about? This insane wall that nobody could ever get into? On the bricks of the wall, he had inscribed this: "I am Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon." All the bricks had that on it. And they were all painted with a really nice blue. Okay? So what does Nebuchadnezzar have in common with Ahab and Herod and Jezebel and these guys? Another one, Pharaoh. Remember Moses came to Pharaoh with Aaron, and the message was this: "The Lord says to let the people go, let my people go into the desert so they can offer sacrifices and worship me." They told it to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said this: "Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and moreover, I will not let Israel go. Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice?" What does he have in common with these other guys? One more. Pontius Pilate. You know, when you read the interaction between Jesus and Pilate, it wasn't like Herod. They dragged Jesus in front of Herod and he wouldn't say a word to Herod. Not one word. When they put Jesus in front of Pilate, Pilate says to Jesus, "Are you a king?" And the Lord Jesus starts answering him. "Who told you that? Is that your idea? Or did somebody tell you that?" He's trying to figure out where Pilate's at. He's helping Pilate. Pilate says, "How am I supposed to know? Am I a Jew?" And Jesus says this to him: "For this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. All who are of the truth hear my voice." He said that to Pilate. He was trying to help Pilate. And he said, "You're right in saying I'm a king, but my kingdom is not of this world. If it was of this world, my servants would be fighting, but it's not of this world." He says, "All who are of the truth will hear my voice." And Pilate said, "Well, what is truth?" He's like, "Ah." So after that, Pilate wanted to satisfy the Jews, so he had Jesus Christ scourged, whipped, remember? To try to satisfy them. He didn't want to kill the Lord. So the Lord comes back and he asks him. Pilate starts trying to question him, and Jesus wouldn't talk to him anymore. Wouldn't talk to him anymore. Now he's like Herod. Finally, well, here's the quote I want to give you. How is Pilate like these other guys? Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" What do all these guys have in common, okay? Is the question. All right? So you might know, you might not know, but I think it's one thing they all have in common is this, right? They are full of pride. All these guys are full of pride. And it's manifested in that they don't take the Word of God seriously. The pride is manifested in the prophet coming to them, giving them the Word of God, and them hearing the Word of God, and they are so proud that they don't take the Word of God seriously. That's what they have in common. Two things: proud, and it's manifested in this way. Now, this is why we're raising the question, why is following our own heart pride? I'm just following my own heart. I'm a genuine person trying to do the right thing, and I'm following my own heart. Why is that pride? Because it's this: I'm not going to follow that. I'm going to follow my own heart. You see how proud that is? I'm not going to listen to the Word of God. I'm going to listen to me. Now, let me try to illustrate this. Steve Schneider, we'll pick on him, okay? He's an appraiser. He appraises property, okay? I don't know anything about it. So, Steve Schneider is going to take me on the job with him one day and show me how to do it. So I show up for work, and he starts trying to tell me, and I go, "I already know how to do all that. I can do that. He goes, "You don't even know what you're talking about. What are you doing? You don't know anything." "No, I can do this. Shut up. Leave me alone. I can do it." Or I go on the job with Ivan. "Okay, we're going to change this guy's water heater. Okay, I'll show you how to do it, Sam. Okay, let's start doing it." "Oh, I know how to do this, Ivan. You just plug it into the 220 outlet." Okay, you see what I'm getting at? What would Ivan's reaction be? What would Steve's reaction be to me? Sam is so full of pride. He thinks he knows what he's talking about. He doesn't have a clue what he's talking about. I'm the guy that knows. He's following his own stupid idea. So here's my question. What does God think of these guys when they say, "I don't need to hear from God. I already know the way I'm going to do it"? You see what happens? And what if I did that a few times? What would Ivan do or Steve do after a while? They probably do. "You know what? I'm done with you. I'm not even gonna talk to you, Sam." You think God does that to us? You think He's done with us? Jesus was done with Herod. He was already done with Herod before He walked in front of Him, because He was done with Herod because Herod killed John the Baptist. And He was done with Pilate after a while. And all these guys get Pharaoh, you know. Now let's look at this. What happened to these guys? What's the end of the road for these guys? What happened to Ahab? Ahab lived his life like this. What happened to him at the end? Do you guys remember what happened to Ahab? Ahab wanted to attack Syria, and he was asking, "Should we attack?" And Micaiah said, "If you attack, you're going to die," and he didn't want to hear it. So he goes, "Lock that guy up. I don't want to hear anymore." And Micaiah said, "You know what? You're not going to make it through the day." So Ahab dresses up like the other king to fool the enemy. And he's riding around in his chariot disguised during the battle. And the Bible says that somebody takes a bow and randomly shoots an arrow, and it randomly goes in the crack of his armor and pierces his armor, and he bleeds to death in his chariot, and the dogs lick up his blood just like it was prophesied. The point I'm making here is this. What was the end? How does God deal with these guys after they do this stuff? Does anybody know what happened to Jezebel? Jezebel lived her life like this. She's married to this guy Ahab, and the whole thing, she kept going like this. One time she's in this in Jezreel, and there was a king, Jehu. He took over, and he was a good king. And he comes up to this place, and Jezebel's up on the wall talking to him. And the guy says, "If anybody's with me, throw her off the wall." I kind of like that. "Shut this woman up. Throw her off the wall." They threw her off the wall, and the Bible says that she was trampled by the horses, and then they were all eating, and they said, "Well, let's bury the girl because she's a king's daughter anyway." They went to bury her, and the Bible says the dogs had already eaten her. And the only thing left was her palms and her skull and her feet. And that was predicted would happen. The dogs would eat Jezebel. This is the end of these guys. What happened to Nebuchadnezzar when he wouldn't listen to Daniel? Daniel told him, "May this not happen to you, king. God is warning you." He had the vision about what was going to happen to Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar didn't listen. And a year later, he's boasting on the wall. And what happens? The Bible says the words were just out of his mouth. "This is the great Babylon which I built. I'm King Nebuchadnezzar." As soon as the words came out of his mouth, the Bible says that God turned him into an animal. in his mind. He thought he was an animal, and he went out for 7 years, just like it was predicted, and he crawled around and ate grass like an ox for 7 years. And you know, that's even true in extra-biblical history. That's true. Nebuchadnezzar was this great king that lost his mind, thought he was an animal. So the point is, this is what happened to these guys. What happened to Pharaoh? After all these plagues and his whole country was devastated and his son was killed, the firstborn died, remember, because of the plagues, because he wouldn't let the people go, he wouldn't listen to the word of God, he wouldn't listen, and he suffered all these plagues, and even at the end he tried to chase them through the Red Sea that God parted, remember? What happened? Yeah, God closed up the water and drowned the whole army with Pharaoh. That's how God dealt with Pharaoh. And we don't know exactly what happened to Pilate, but we know this from church, from secular, extra-biblical history, that Pilate killed himself. Now, why do I bring this up? See, these are the consequences of the pride of, this is how God deals with people that don't listen to His Word. You say, well, Sam, I know plenty of people that don't listen to the Word of God, and they live a happy life. You know what happens to them, though? What happens to them, according to the Bible? If you live your life, and you don't listen to this Word and do what this Word says, even if you have a nice life here, like Hitler, Hitler had a nice life. Nice girlfriend, plenty of money, good cars, power, slaves. Hitler didn't really suffer here. What do you think happened to Hitler when he died? What happens to people? You see, this is the problem. Just because nothing's happening now, I think I'm okay. But the Bible talks about facing God after I live a life of pride, saying, and I may even look humble. Oh, I'm so humble, you know. But I'm not listening to this book. The people that don't obey God, they're so proud that they think they can figure out how to do everything without obeying God. That's nothing but pride. And what happens? They die and they go to hell. These people that I just mentioned, they're just a picture. They're a picture of what happens to people. And so here we are. We're trying to... I would like to avoid that. Wouldn't you? I didn't ask to be born. I'm here. I figure out the Bible's true. There's a Lord Jesus. He rose from the dead. There's a kingdom. He died for sinners. How does all this fit with me? I want to be on the right path. Don't you? I don't want to have lived my life at the end and God say, Sam, you were so full of pride that you wouldn't bend your knee to my word. Off you go. I don't want that. That's why I'm talking like this. I don't want that for you guys. We're all in the same boat. We're trying to help one another, right? So, when you look at the day of Jeremiah the prophet, okay, what we had in this day was this. Jeremiah is saying this. The Babylonians are going to come and they're going to wipe the city out. And they were saying, no, nothing bad is going to happen to us because I'm okay. Even though I don't obey the Word of God like you say, Jeremiah, I'm still okay. Nothing bad's going to happen to me because I'm special. I'm a special kind of a person. God really looks at me and goes, you're so special, and we know you're not perfect and everything, and so nothing bad will happen to me because I have God's favor. And Jeremiah's saying, no, you're wrong. You're not obeying the Word of God. You're going to get judged. No, we're not. We're going to be okay. Do you see how much pride that is? I am such a sweet person that God is going to look upon me with such favor that nothing bad will happen to me at the end of the road. And he's saying, no, if you don't obey that book, I don't care what you say about yourself or who you are, you're going to get judged. So the pride is manifested in, we're not going to do what you say. Exactly. See how it manifests it? Now, listen to this quote from Jeremiah 13. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Thus says the Lord, even so will I spoil the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. This evil people who refuse to hear my words, who stubbornly follow their own heart. The pride, he says, I will spoil their pride because they refuse to hear my words and they stubbornly follow their own heart. So when I say that pride is manifested in not listening to what God says and following your own heart, I'm not making that up. You see how it's right in the Bible? Jeremiah 13:8. Jeremiah 7, verse 23. He says this, "But this command I gave them, quote, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the way that I command you." He says, walk in the way that I command you, that it may be well with you. But they did not obey or incline their ear, but walked in their own counsels and the stubbornness of their hearts. You see? The opposite of obeying this is saying, I am my own counselor. I can figure it out. I know how to do it. I can live my life in such a way and I'm going to follow my own counsel. He's saying that's pride. And so when you look at the people of Moses' day, listen to this quote from about the people. Deuteronomy 29. When he hears the words of this sworn covenant, that's the hearer, the guy in Israel, he hears the covenant. The covenant was about this. If you guys obey me, God says, I'll give you rain and crops and everything will go to... If you disobey me, you're not going to get anything. I'm going to make it go bad for you. That was the covenant God made with them, right? So the guy hears the words of the covenant and he does this. He blesses himself in his heart saying, quote, I shall be safe though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart. You see that? I will be safe even though I'm not obeying God. That's what the issue is again. And we know what happened to those guys. In Psalm 81 it says this. You know, God says this. I'm the Lord that brought you out of Egypt. Listen to this. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. What does that mean? Just you guys come to me and do what I say and I will make you so happy. I'll give you the Holy Spirit. You'll be filled with joy and I'll take care of you. He says, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. But my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me. They would walk in my ways. Like God is just dying to bless these people, but they're saying, no, we don't need to listen to God. All this stuff is too serious. We just need to follow our own little way, our own little counsel. My point is this. The humble people will obey the Word of God. And the proud people will not. I don't care what we look like. I don't care how many, you know, faces we make that look like we're humble or whatever. If we don't obey the Word and we follow our own little way, it's nothing but pride. So the humble people will say, you know what? I'm nobody. In fact, I know who I am. I'm a sinner. And God should judge me for my sin. And it's a day of mercy. I'm living under the mercy of God right now because He's not killing me right now. And so I'm going to take His Word serious and I'm going to do what He says because I'm trembling at the Word of God because I don't have a very high view of myself. I want to do what He says. I used to have a high view of myself and I ignored the Bible. Okay, or I, you know, just took the parts that I decided were good. Right? So somebody says, you know, Sam, you're kind of describing the way I've lived my life. And you know, frankly, look at the more I go on in the Christian life, it means less and less to me when somebody says that they're a Christian. Talk, I'm a Christian, I'm a great Christian. I don't judge them, I give them the benefit of the doubt. But what carries the weight with me is when they live it out. Okay, and you guys are probably like that too. But so somebody says, you know, Sam, I think that's me. I've been saying that I was a Christian or I've been a non-Christian or something, and I've lived not looking at the Word of God, just living however I thought was right by my own counsel. That describes me. And the Word of God here, that's had very little place in my life. What's going to happen to me now? Am I hopeless because of that? Listen to this. Ezekiel 18, quote, God says this, "When a wicked person turns away from the wickedness he has committed and does what is just and right, he shall save his life, because he considered and turned away from all the transgression that he had committed, and he shall surely live, he shall not die." Get that? God is saying, even though this guy lived, you know, a life of ignoring the Bible, but then he said, wait a minute, I've made a mistake. I'm going to reconsider. I'm going to not do that way anymore. I'm going to do this other way where I listen to God. God says, I'll save that guy. Listen to Isaiah 55, verse 6. Listen to this. Quote, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Isn't that a cool promise? Look at, the Lord is near. He's waiting. He's waiting for us to say, you know what, I have been wicked in this sense. I was proud. I thought I was somebody that could decide my own way. And now I want to change that. I'm seeking to be righteous. I want to follow the Lord's way. And the Lord will abundantly pardon. One more. "Come now," the Lord says, "let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool." The Lord is saying, you say, Sam, that describes me. I haven't been living for the Lord. I've been living under my own counsel. Even though lots of people think I'm a nice guy. Listen. The Lord says this, "Come now and let's reason. Let me reason with you." Listen to this reasoning. Listen to this reasoning. "Even though you got all these sins and they're like red like crimson, I can make them all like white as snow." You know, that's pretty good reason. Like, wow. That's not even saying, you know, you're messed up, Sam, you're a jerk. It's like saying, you just come and I'll make everything good. I'll make all your sins go away. Like, who doesn't want that kind of reasoning, right? So you say, well, I want to commit my life now to following the Word of God. I'm done playing around with my life. I've had my last run. I talked to a guy in the homeless shelter one time, and he told me, I just got to the point he became a Christian. I got to the point where I didn't have another run in me. You see, we're done. We're done. God, I am done with that way. I live my life that way. I don't want one more run. No more of that. I want to go on this new path with the Lord Jesus and obeying His Word and forget that pride. I want to be humble. Well, in the end, there's only two kinds of people. There's the guy that changes, because we're all born the other way. And then there's the guy that stays that way and he disregards the words of the Lord. There's those who live their life, or they change, and they become what Jesus said is the wise builder. The wise builder, he said, was what? The guy who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. And Jesus said the foolish man was the one that hears these words of mine and doesn't put them into practice. There's only two groups of people here. It doesn't, you know, lots of people say they're this and say I'm that. I'm this great guy. I'm a great Christian. It doesn't even matter. Because Jesus said, many are going to come to me on that day saying, Lord, Lord, and I'm telling the guy, I never knew you. I didn't know you. You could talk, Lord. You just all talk. What matters is the Word of God is, I want to live by that Word. And so, when we ask the question, how can God make your sins like white? You know, you go into court and you got all these crimes. And the judge goes, "You're off the hook, Sam. You're like white as snow now." It doesn't happen. How does that happen? We know it happens through the cross. Right? What happened at the cross? It wasn't just another man dying up there. It wasn't that we just feel bad because Jesus died. It was that when He died on that cross, in the invisible realm where we can't see, God laid my sins on Him. He's up there. Before I was born, God reaches into the future. All the sins of Sam Patrone, the time he was born, the time he dies, He takes them all, He lays them on Christ, and Jesus Christ bleeds and dies and pays the debt that I owe. Otherwise, there is no making my sins like white, and making me like... Nothing can be removed without the cross. That's why Jesus said, "No one comes to the Father except through me." There's no forgiveness without Christ because of the debt that was paid. You guys see that? We can say, "Oh God, help me. But we come to Christ and we say, "Lord, You're the Savior. I want You to be my Savior. I want You to be the one that pays the debt that I earned. And You were kind enough and loving enough to come down and die in my place and pay that debt in full. I want You to be my Savior. And I want to get serious about Your book. I want to follow Your word. I want to be humble." See, that's the prayer that God listens to. The Bible says God listens to the humble. And so, the question I'll leave you with is, look it, I want everybody to become a Christian. I'm a salesman. I'm not very good. I'm talking by the Word of God. I want everybody to become saved and live according to this book. That's what I want. Okay, so I'm warning you at the same time as I'm warning myself. I don't care how many sermons I preached. I don't care how good I've been living. If I start departing from this book and going down this path and becoming proud and saying, "I don't need to listen to that. I'm special. God loves me because I'm special." Then I go down that path. I'm just a false Christian and I'm going to burn in hell too. So I want you guys to be, on judgment day, your life to be revealed that you lived a life that was humble enough to say, "I'm going to give up my own counsel and follow the Word of God because I love Jesus." That's what I want for you guys. Okay? So, Father, we pray all together, all of us here, Lord, we all ask You to make us the most serious Christian we could possibly be. That we would follow Your Word as close as we can. That we would search it and examine our heart. And Lord, we want to be as close as we can to doing Your will because we want Your favor. We want to please You. So put that in our hearts today, Lord. Anybody who's sitting here, Lord, and I know in every meeting there are these people. There's people who think they are saved and they're not. Lord, deliver us from that. Wake us up if we're like that. Show us. Make us the real thing. And the people, Lord, that never considered these things, Lord, bring them into the kingdom right this moment. Give them faith. Give them a new heart to cry out and say, "Lord, I want to follow You. I want a new life. I want to give up the old life." Give them that. Please, Lord. For Your glory we ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.